Welcome to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. Streaming live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app on any electronic device, iPhone, cell phone, laptops, or computers. And search WWGH and take advantage of the many talk show programs we have to offer you. If you would like to connect with me during this hour, if you have any questions about our topic we will be talking about, my guest and myself, or would like to make any comments concerning the show, please call 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you, and they are located in LaRue, Ohio. Their telephone number is 740-262-0939. And as usual, I like to start out the show with a thought for today. The title of this thought is The Final Analysis. I know many people are wondering, are we in the last days? Is the world getting ready to end? Are we going into war? And all that kind of thinking. And maybe they have a good reason for that. But the final analysis is not about that. And it goes like this. People often, unreasonable, self-centered, forgive them anyway. If you are honest, people may cheat you, but be honest anyway. What you spend years to build, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. And I thought that was appropriate. We're starting out a new year, 2020 or January 2020. I don't know which is appropriate. I know that's a question that's out in the media. Which should we say? Which sounds better? How does it roll off your tongue? Anyway, we are in the sixth day of January, 2020. Let me introduce to you my guest, Dacia Wade. She is my daughter and co-laborer in Christ. And not only that, we bounce off of each other with different ideas and concepts and precepts. And just really, we're close, very close. Dacia, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine today, and you?
I'm doing okay. I feel really good about
That's good.
2020.
I do too.
You?
Yes, I do.
Well, good. I don't know why I feel so good about it. And looking at the news, you know, it's like, wow, okay. The enemy trying to take me down, down, down. So, no, no, no.
The news got you think the enemy trying to take you down?
I mean, and maybe not just me, but, you know, all of us.
Yeah. In a way.
Yeah, in the United States. Like, doom and gloom. Okay, here we go. Maybe, you know, war or whatever. But we can talk about that at a different time. I don't know if you want to put a plug in on that right now or not. I hope to do a show on that tomorrow. The final war. So we'll go back to our thought for today, the final analysis. People often are unreasonable and self-centered. How do you feel about that remark? That statement. That's a statement.
Unreasonable and self-centered. I can see that.
Why do you think people are so self-centered? Because if you're self-centered, quite naturally, you would be unreasonable because then you only think about yourself. So why do you think that people are more self-centered today?
Because really, this day and age, it's like a dog-eat-dog world. It's the survival of the fittest. And as sad as it is, in order to survive, a lot of people don't know how to survive without stealing, cheating, lying. You know, even if you lying about who all living in your house to get extra assistance, or who have a job and who don't have a job, working under the table trying to get extra money to make ends meet, you're lying still, you know. So I think a lot of people struggle coming up, and they learn to manipulate things and stuff to fit them in the way they want to live. Mm-hmm. And taking care of their household and their family.
Mm-hmm. So I know back in the day, maybe before my time and even around my time, neighbors would come and help one another, or come down and you need a garden spot, you know, they would offer your garden spot in their garden, or if they were canning food, they would bring you some, you know, or if they had too much to eat, they would make sure that the next family had some. They didn't mind going out of their way to find out or to make sure everyone had something. And so what you're saying is self-centeredness has taken, it takes away from that concept, doesn't it?
Yeah, because then they work together.
Right, right. Right.
You know, I got a garden down here. You got a garden down here.
Right, right.
I'm going to plant this, and this. You can plant this, and this. Mm-hmm. When the harvest comes, we split the crops.
Right.
You want to go on a trip, I water your garden. I go on a trip, you water mine. Mm-hmm. You know.
Right.
They work together.
That's true.
If you see my child out of hand, you let me know. You tell them, and then you let me know and send them home. You know, it's different. Now it's don't touch my child. Don't say nothing to my child. Mm-hmm. The self-centeredness come from pride.
Pride. And that is a big word, ego.
It's pride. Because as soon as somebody thought they had a dollar, they thought everybody else around them was not good enough.
To be around them, or...
or to share. Now you think you moved up. You know how people move up and mm-hmm. move on, and then you don't see them no more. And
right.
Then next time you see them, they might have on a fur and they heels and all this and all that. But where they nose at? They nose is also mm-hmm. up.
Elevated.
Because now they got a little bit of pride because they got a little bit of money or status or right. whatever it is. So that's why it's pride.
Wow.
It's pride.
Pride is a big word. It just really is. And we know that pride can be very dangerous because pride is what brought the devil down. Because he wanted to be like, he said, I will be like God. I will ascend up into heaven. I will be like the Most High.
It brought Eve down too.
Yes, it did. Yes,
because he told her that if she eat at a fruit, she would be like God.
Right.
Pride.
Not knowing that she was already more like God than she would
ever been.
Yes, ever be. And why do we buy in some of those things that, what is it? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those are the things that bring us down, right? And it troubles our intellect, our intelligence, because we may not have certain things, and we may see, like you said, other people moving up, right? So in order for me to move up, I've gone to be dishonest.
Or I'm not even moved up. I'm just making it look like I have.
Right, right. Camouflage, which is a lie, living a lie. Okay. But then it says forgive them anyway. If they do, if they live their life like that, they're unreasonable and they're self-centered. It says, forgive them anyway. If you are honest. See, this is about honesty. Honesty is also about integrity. And it's about your character. What kind of person are you, or what kind of person do you want to be? Not only that, what kind of person do you want someone else to see you as? Unreasonable, self-centered, very prideful, don't know how to talk with someone, don't know how to get along with the other person, or it really doesn't matter to you, just walk all over them so you can be seen. You know, squash other people out of the picture. And that's what I thought about when I thought about being honest or being so self-centered and so unreasonable. And, you know, even in the scripture, God says, come, let us reason together. Talk to me about, you know, what's going on with you, and maybe I can talk to you what's going on with me, and maybe we can come to an agreement. Agreement to agree and agreement to disagree. Right? Mm-hmm. You think that makes any sense?
Yeah, I guess. But, you know, sometimes it's better to walk away sometimes.
It says, you know, people may cheat you, but be honest anyway. No matter what a sin is, no matter what a person do to you, you just be honest and you do what you know to do what's right.
Right. So sometimes it's just better to walk away.
Okay. I got you. That's what you're saying.
If this person continues to be like this and it continues to be like this and continues to be like this, even though they make it seem as if they are changing, mm-hmm. or have changed. Mm-hmm. But really haven't, then mm-hmm. you need to walk away.
Forgive them and just let them be who they are.
I'm not mad at you.
Right, right.
But you're not going to walk on me.
Right.
Anymore.
I have the right to say.
That's no. enough.
Right, no.
I mean,
no,
God
no.
does.
Yes.
When he gets tired of our sin and stuff, what'd he do? He let us know that's enough.
That's enough. Get it together.
Don't he?
Yes, he does. Get it together.
Now, what we don't want him to do is walk away from us.
No, we don't.
But we do have the right to stay away from abusers. Mm-hmm. That was one of the only grounds for divorce in the Old Testament. If they were abusing you or adultery.
Fornication. Yeah.
Fornication and adultery. But abuse, you do not have to stand by abuse. Not like that, no.
And it also says, what you spend years to build, someone could destroy overnight. And how often does that happen? It happens every day to somebody. Because sometimes you just let the wrong person get too close to you and know too much about you. You know, sometimes we're too trusting of other people. And it's like, isn't there anything sacred about you and your life, what you're doing every day and what you're not doing? Some things just need to be with you. And those that's really, really close to you or in your household. You know, I don't think God is very pleased with any of us who just blab out everything that's going on.
Right.
Telling too much. Because some things are just not another person's business about you.
Right. You know?
Because you're giving them the ammunition that they need to bring you down.
To come against you. That's how witches work.
Oh. Well, we went into another category. Okay. So that's how they work. So I know you brought up the word manipulation. So you're in... That's supposed to be like witchcraft too, manipulation.
That's what it all ends up being.
So since you brought up witchcraft, you know, when we first got over here in the United States, they used to burn witches in, I think it was Salem, Pennsylvania. They used to burn them at the stake. or if they, if someone would give a testimony that that woman was a witch, you know, they would destroy her, you know, just burn her. Do you think in the age we live in, which is right now, 2020, hey, thank God we're here. Another year. And another decade, the beginning of another decade. Okay, so do you think witchcraft still exists?
Yes.
In what scale, say 1 to 10, do you think is prevalent in our age?
I say about a 7 or 8.
That much?
Yes.
So the self-centeredness,
witchcraft,
and unreasonable
witchcraft.
So these people have just turned.
Well, I mean, there's different levels of witchcraft. Okay. There's different levels of it, but those are all those things are on the verge of being. Of working witchcraft. They're all in the verge of working witchcraft. To only think about yourself and be self-centered by itself is a sin. Because even in the, according to the Bible, it's supposed to be God first, then your husband, then you.
Right.
Right?
Right. And it's love God with all your heart, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And God says, how can you tell me you love your brother whom you see every day, and you tell me you love me and you've never seen me? How are you loving your brother and you hate him? You know, you hate him, but you tell me you love me and you've never seen me. So, I guess self-centeredness. It could be that a person is who is totally self-centered, can't get enough, or don't know how to be honest anymore. Sometimes you can go too far and lose your way, and you don't know how to be honest. You don't know how to be caring of someone else.
I don't think a person... I think there's a difference between being self-centered and then I think there's a difference between selfish and selfless.
Okay.
Selfish is too, I'm this, I'm that, I'm all this, and ain't that, I'm not doing this, I'm not putting up with this, and I'm not gonna go out my way to do nothing for nobody, I'm not gonna help nobody, I'm not gonna do this, I'm not gonna do that, and all that, because it's all about me. Mm-hmm. If I'm not getting no benefit from it, I'm not doing it.
Right.
If you ain't did nothing for me, I ain't doing nothing for you.
Right.
That's selfish. Selfless is, oh, what do you need? Can I come over there and help you? But you ain't got time for yourself.
Right. And you
and all while I'm helping you and doing this for you and running around with you and at your house and doing this, all mine is going into shambles. I'm losing my life. I'm losing my way. I don't have this. I don't have that for helping you. I can't pay my bills for helping you. My kids ain't got no clothes for helping you. I don't have this. I don't have that. And I don't have this. For helping you, I done lost my job. Or I'm on my way back to prison. Or I'm on my way to here, or on my way there, or I didn't step from the cloth, or I didn't got from doing what I was supposed to be doing. I didn't walk away from the church because I'm so centered around helping you. Mm-hmm. Now I don't care enough about myself.
Right.
So that's why there's supposed to be a balance.
Yes.
That's why the Lord said, love me with all your heart, but love your neighbor as you love yourself. Mm-hmm. You got to know how to love yourself.
I agree with that. You do need to learn how to love yourself.
And there has to be a balance with how much you love yourself.
True. You can't love yourself like, more than God.
No, and you can't love your neighbor more than you love yourself or God.
True.
Because if you're doing so much for your neighbor, then that neighbor then stepped into what God got you doing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there has to be a balance.
True.
true. There.
We have to be careful about the object of our affections.
Yes.
You know, because that, like you said, that can get out of hand. And we don't want that to get out of hand. Because then it becomes our idol.
And then it depends on why are you doing it.
True. What's your intention?
Why are you doing it? Because, you know, a lot of people think that they're going to work their way into heaven. Well, I done did this, and I done did that, and I done helped this person and paid this person's rent, and I done did this, and I done did that. And but what you do for Christ?
Right. Right. Well, I've heard that many, many times. You know, I have to do this. I have to go to church every Sunday. I can't miss a day. I have to be at Bible study. Like you said, I have to help my neighbor. I have to do this, go here, go there, and do that.
Now God is saying, what are you doing for you?
But those things don't get you in heaven.
No, it don't. It don't. And if that's all you're doing, it's keeping you out.
That's not funny. That is not funny. Okay.
But it's the truth.
We don't want that. We don't want to be kept out of heaven because we have the wrong understanding of what it takes to get to heaven.
Amen.
You know, because we can have the wrong understanding about what it takes to get into heaven. And there's many arguments about that subject. Yes, it is. Wow. Okay, and that's good. I thank you for even bringing that up, okay? And just to think that you've labored all your life and you let the wrong person get too close to you and they could destroy you and your progress that you've made for yourself overnight. And it says build anyway. Keep building. Build anyway. But at least you know not to let nobody that close again, right? When you're building.
Well, we live and learn.
True.
And a lot of times, even though it may seem as someone else is doing it, a lot of times it still be God. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we get knocked down to be polished. Mm-hmm. You know, you have stuff on the shelf so long, and it gets all that dust mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, as it slowly gets that dust, and by the days and months, possibly years, and you looking at it every day, it don't look like it done tarnished that much. But if you get that off that shelf, it'll get you some furniture polish.
Right.
And you want it on whoopee cloths and shine that brass bell mm-hmm. or wipe that wood down, it's going to look like a whole... A whole new item.
Yes.
See, and a lot of times we get comfortable. Mm-hmm. We gotta get knocked down to be polished.
True.
So we can get set back up. You know.
Yeah. I agree.
A lot of people think that they're doing something, but it's all in God's hands anyway. Because He said, if He open the door, can't no man
close it.
But if He close it.
Ain't no man
open it. So that's it right there.
The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow.
Do it anyway.
Do good anyway. So this is about the final analysis. Do good no matter what.
Yeah.
No matter who. No matter how they've treated you. Cheated you. Walked on you, forgotten you, do good anyway. Because you see, in the final analysis, it is between you and God. It never was between you and them. Now that's a big pill to swallow. Because sometimes we put so much confidence in man. We do. People want to be liked by other people, you know. People want to know that maybe they can trust someone else or they can share things with, you know, that maybe they can trust. I wouldn't run around and tell everybody else. And as soon as they get off the phone with you, they're calling somebody else to tell them what you said. But you'd be wanting to think that I can trust this person. A little bit anyway, you know. So, but what they're saying is, it's really not about them. You're doing good means that you're doing good like God wants you to do good. No matter what nobody else is doing, no matter what no one else is saying. And that's the final analysis. That's the end of it. It has nothing to do with them, but everything to do with you and God.
Yeah, because on Judgment Day, it's going to be you standing before him. Not you and them and them and them and them and them and everybody you've met in your life.
Yeah, so nobody's going to call you and say, well, what did Dacia do on such and such a day? And what did she say? I'm in front of the Lord, right?
But guess what? He got a tablet with my name on it, too.
Yes.
And he's keeping everything that come out my mouth, too.
Yes.
Every word is weighed in a balance.
He's not going to ask me about you either.
No.
So what did you do?
So be careful what comes out your own mouth.
Wow. I tell you, I thought that was just a good thought for today. I really did, because we're in a new year, a new decade. This is the beginning. What is the next 10 years going to look like? If the Lord bless and say the same, we live to see that. We have a chance to set up new goals. We have a chance to learn different things. We have a chance to make ourselves better, right? Start new projects. Be faithful to what we know that is true. And it's new beginnings. This is a new year, and it's about new beginnings. And 2020 is about what they say, perfect vision, which I don't know if any of us will ever have perfect vision, but at least we can ask the Lord to help us to see what he wants us to see, you know.
Or write down your vision.
Yeah,
whatever
right.
you see.
Write down your vision.
The Lord said, write the vision, make it plain.
Right. Habakkuk.
How can it come to pass if you don't have it
written down?
That's what it's about. It's about writing down. We have to write down what we want.
That's what the pastor said. A plan must be written down.
It has to be.
If it's not written down, it's just a wish. That's what he said, it's just a wish. So if you don't take the time to write down your plan, then you really don't have a plan.
No, you don't.
You must write it down. And I thought that was a very powerful statement that he made. I don't know if it was yesterday or not, but, or the Sunday before. I write down so much stuff.
I do too.
So much stuff. So many notes, so many plans that I have, you know. And some of these things have not come to pass. These are things that the Lord have placed in my heart. But I believe they're getting ready to come to pass, getting ready to prosper and to bloom the future. So, this new decade, I'm hoping and praying it's going to be one of the best years of my life. You know? And I hope many of you who are listening feel the same way. This is like new beginnings. What you didn't get right last year, you have a chance to get it right this year in 2020. Right?
Yeah.
The vision. Write the vision down and make it plain. 2020 represents perfect vision. Wow, the things that... I'm about to go home and write down some more things, you know, because if you don't have a plan, you're not going to prosper. You're not going to succeed in what you think you're going to do because you didn't take the time to write it down. You know, and there's so many things we keep on our mind. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to go here, go there. Unless I write it down, something's going to be left out. I'm not going to accomplish everything I meant to do today if I don't make a list and write it down. That's just like going to the grocery store, right? How many times have we gone to the grocery store without a list? What happens?
I have to go back.
Go back? Or you done bought too much stuff. You done bought stuff you don't even need, you know.
Cause you still don't have what I went to get. I have to go back.
That's it. That is.
It don't matter if I bought too much. I ain't go what I went to get.
Right. It's so prevalent. You know, and they say don't go hungry.
No.
Because that's even worse, right? Mm-hmm. You really didn't get what you went for. Get all the way home. Well, where's my salt, my pepper, you know? I know I've done that so many times, and I have gone back 2-3 times to get what I really wanted to get.
Well, we did. We have to start writing things down. If we start writing down thought, you know, a lot of us don't even know what the vision is for our lives.
True.
But you know what I just sat here and thought about? If we start writing down those little things, mm-hmm. it might just come together. Write the vision. Make it plain. So those little thoughts that come from God. Mm-hmm. Oh, let me write this down.
It's priceless.
Just have a tablet just for right. that. And, oh, let me write this down. Well, you might look back over that in a couple of months. And it might be a plan.
Right. Some of it may have already come true. Yeah, that's true.
For your life. For your children's lives.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, we have to write the vision.
And make it plain. Say what you want. You know, what you feel, what you really feel in your heart that you want to do, that you want to accomplish, places you may want to go. And I think about going to Paris and all those places. And I don't even want to be in an airplane that long. About an hour is about the most I can handle, you know. And I want to go to those places. And maybe if I write it down, maybe I'll make it eventually, you know.
Well, first you got to write down, I got to get on the plane longer than an hour.
So help me. Help me, Lord. Help me. Yeah.
Baby steps to Paris.
Yes, I know. I know. Just like my sister went to Hawaii. That was a five. I think she changed planes 2 or 3 times, but the final was like 5 hours, 6 hours out there. But it was almost like 24 hours to get there. Something like that. It was a long, long airplane ride. Mm-mm. Right. Even though it's beautiful. And they say it's one of the most beautiful islands in the world. But still, to get there.
On the boat.
Oh, that water. There's more water than I can drink. That's for sure. I don't know. I haven't even been on a cruise. Because I'd be thinking about, yeah, that boat looks enormous, but it looks like nothing in the ocean. You know how vast the ocean is. I can't even go on a cruise. That's fear, though. That's fear.
I think I'd rather go on a cruise than be in the air.
Really? Well, I could take a boat to Paris in almost, huh?
I think I'd rather be down where gravity already got me at, you right, know, right. down, you know. I don't know about being up there. Not till the Lord come get me.
True. Some people look at it like it's nothing. Someone mentioned yesterday that they were on a plane and they wonder why they don't tell you before you get on the plane that it's going to be great turbulence where we're going. No, they wait until you get in there. They didn't lock the doors and everything. And they tell you the stewardess is not going to serve you because it's going to be great turbulence. And they want them to have a seat too, just like you are. And then you're jumping up and down and rocking like on an airplane, right?
That's why. No. You know,
Then when you get, when it does,
heart attack.
When it does land, you got jet lag. Yeah, you have jet lag. You're like, whoa, you'd be stressed. Wow, you'd be really stressed. So, some things, you know, we do blindly. And we don't know what to expect, just like the airplane. Okay, put on your seatbelt, lock the doors, but you're on your own. You are on your own. Isn't that crazy?
In the air.
Yeah, in the air.
A place you've never been before.
No, no. No. No, and you're like up and down, around and around, and it's like it's hitting bumps in the air like a car, like, you know. I've been there. I've had jet lag before. It was no treat. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't even want to go back home now, you know, because the ride was so terrible. So, but anyway, did you watch the Golden Globes last night?
No.
You didn't? Tom Hanks got the Lifetime Achievement Award.
He deserved it.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
Who else was nominated?
I know Beyonce didn't win for that song on Lion King. She did not win.
I heard she did terrible.
Then they said her and her husband, Jay-Z, came to the event late, an hour late, and brought their own drinks. What's that?
They got their own money.
And I understand that. I understand it. Remember back in the day when we used to go to the CIO Hall to the dances they used to have?
No.
And we could bring our own bottles, you know. But you don't see too many events today where you bring your own bottle, unless you go into a cabaret.
Well, it's like, yeah, a personal party or something, yeah, like that might, yeah, tell you to bring your own bottle or whatever.
Yeah.
But most facilities, no.
So they talked about that today on the air, that they were an hour late and brought their own drinks with them. So... at least they showed up, though. At least they showed
up. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. I'm trying to think who else won. Ellen.
Oh, I did see her today on the news this morning. Mm-hmm. She won a lot of them, I guess. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, yes. But the thing about her, she was one of the first ones, I guess, to come out of the closet that she was gay, and she got all that ridicule against her, and she lost two very important jobs before she got that one talk. The talk show she has now. And I thought she was good. She on a sharp suit, though. Oh, she on a sharp pantsuit. And she received the Carol Burnett Award.
I've seen that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Carol Burnett Award. And Carol Burnett was there. I don't know how old she is right now, but she looked really good. Carol Burnett. I don't know if she's in her 80s. She got to be 80s or something, or close to 90s, you know. But, yep, she got her award, and I didn't see a lot of people because I was watching another movie. I was, you know, on the TV.
I was watching Power.
Were you? The new episodes are on. Power, okay. I know they haven't found out who shot Ghost yet, right?
Right, but we know who hasn't. Oh. One person that hasn't.
Okay, process of elimination, okay.
Yeah.
All right. New season, show's coming on. I watched, I like Being Married at First Sight.
Oh.
I'm watching that series. Reality show.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Because, you know, remember last year? Not last year, but back in the day, they would pick out your husband or your wife. And when you got of age, yeah, and when you got a certain age, they would say, they would say, this is your husband, Daisy, and this is your, I mean, this is your wife, Daisy. And Daisy, that's your husband, Henry. And you're looking at him.
Oh, don't say no names. Please.
And then they're looking at you, and you're looking at them like, what? What are you saying? But you may get married and be happy the rest of your life. Have a beautiful marriage.
I know.
I believe in that. I really do. And that's why I watch Married at First Sight. A lot of people say, nah, I couldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. You know, some people feel like, okay, I don't even know if we're compatible. And the first thing a guy will say, I don't even know if we're compatible in the bed. Well, what does that have to do with it? That should be last on the list. But I do like being married at first sight. So last week, they met one another. No, they haven't even met one another, but the people who put on the show, they go through the process of putting the people together, right? Mm-hmm. And when they put them together, you know what they tell them? Hmm. Now you're engaged. They haven't even seen one another. But when they do that process, now you are engaged. How do you feel about that? Do you think you could actually pull that off or do that? Or be that trusting of someone to pick out your mate for you?
I don't know. But you know what? People do it all the time. People do it all the time without, and I'm saying this because without the paperwork, people are doing it all the time. People are meeting people in the clubs and taking them home, and they staying home with them for months and months and months and months, even years, having kids by them and everything. What is that?
It's an active marriage, yeah.
Well, I'm not saying, like I said, without the paperwork,
right?
You're doing it.
True, and then you
at first sight you meet somebody the first time you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
And you're basically, I mean, you're consummating a marriage, having sex with them.
True.
At first sight, we do it all. Well, people do it all the time.
Hmm. You're right. I didn't even look at it like that.
People do it all the time. They go out of town, meet somebody from out of town. Oh, and then they going to meet this person all this time. And then next thing you know, they done moved in with you or you done moved in with them. And y'all living together, whether it work out or not, whether you get the paperwork or not, you're still being married.
You're doing the active marriage. Yes, yep. Absolutely. You're doing the active marriage. So why does that seem more appropriate nowadays, you think?
Because it's free to get rid of them. It's free. You know, when people was getting married, they said it's cheaper to keep her.
Right? That's true.
Well, you know, they ain't getting married no more. It's cheaper to get rid of them. It's free. You got to just go move on to the next person now.
I never really looked at it that way, but you're right. It is free. It didn't work out. See you later. Like you say, move on to the next person. And do it all over again.
Yeah, when people was getting married, then they had the divorce thing they had to go through and alimony. And if you had kids, you got child support. So then they were saying it's cheaper to keep her.
Right, whether you wanted her or not, or whether you wanted him or not. It was better to stay together and work it out some kind of way. You know, wow. Free. So we have moved into a free society. Just like we have people moving in homes that are empty. It's free. Squatters. Boy, the day and age that we live in, I would never think or thought growing up or even in my young adult age that you can just go in a house and move in it. I mean, I'm about to. Oh, don't say that.
I'm about to. You know why? Because.
Why?
Why not? Everybody else doing
they
it?
They are.
Why not? Why not go find a house you want and go move in it and get the utilities cut on?
But is that even possible for you to get the utilities on?
Yeah. You get them on, but you know what? It depends. See, you got to find the right house. You can't get your water on if you ain't got no pipes in your house.
Yeah, because someone has already come and removed them.
You got to get the right one.
The copper and all that's gone.
Yeah, you can't get no have no heat on if you ain't got no pipes and no fans and stuff to push it out and stuff. So you got to get in the right house.
The day we're living in is unimaginable, but it's here. And it's real. And we're living in this day and age where things just don't add up.
No, because you remember when they had that black man on the news had squatted in that $200,000 neighborhood. He had got the house for $16.
No, I did not.
And all the neighbors was protesting, trying to get him up out the neighborhood.
I don't remember that. Well, how long ago was
maybe
that?
Maybe a year or two ago. He moved in the house. I mean, a big old house by himself for $16. He just got the paperwork to get notarized saying that he had them utilities on in his name for that long. $16 in the house. It was his. And the neighbors was trying to take him to court, get him put out the house and everything. This is ridiculous. Because they all have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars
for
on their house,
homes.
Right?
Right.
$16.
So were they able to have him removed or not?
Not that I know of. He ain't had nothing but a chair to up. It was his though, boy. It was his.
Oh, my.
And there wasn't nothing they could do about it.
Whoa. Well, I don't know if I'm that nervy or that bold to do that or not, but it's a lot of that going on in a lot of our homes or houses that have been abandoned, have other people have taken up occupancy, and it's not really their homes, but they're living in them. It seems, I know I've mentioned this to you before, it seems like there should be an easier way to transfer homes that have been abandoned to people who really need a home and willing to do what it takes to buy a home or even rent to own. You know, I mean, let's do something with those homes before someone gets in there and just tears them up, and then you have to put all that money in them to bring them up to par that you can live in them.
You might as well tear them down. And the Marion ain't gonna have nowhere for nobody to move. These houses is getting raggedier by the day. And it ain't gonna be no decent place to even live in Marion in a few, I say about 5 years.
Hopefully it doesn't get that bad. Because that's bad. If we can say that in 5 years there won't be a decent place to live in the city. And you're talking about the city limits, right?
I'm on Marion.
Marion.
Drive around Marion tonight and look at the neighborhoods. You got, even out there in Chateau Bridge, people is abandoning them homes and people is going in them, getting the copper and stuff. By the time you put all that money back into the home, repiping it, re-putting in heater systems and air conditioning systems, you might as well build a home.
Wow. We're out of time, Dacia, but I thank you so much for being my guest today, and we have talked about several things. But remember the final analysis. It is not between you and everybody else. How you live your life and how you treat other people is simply between you and God. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People, and hopefully we said something that you could agree with or disagree with. But thank you once again for your time. Hopefully we're going to have a better A Voice of a People coming up this year soon. Better topics and different guests. So thank you once again. We're in a new year and a new decade. Use it to your advantage. Be the best you can be.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. The legendary attorney and representative of clients such as O.J. Simpson and Dr. Sam Shepard, F. Lee Bailey.
Let's talk about that. The day the verdict came back, Dr. Shepard had been in prison over a decade.